Very important sugya, the vice and the chasnidrashi, the sugya of the hefsek tahara. So everything we've been talking about in the last couple of shiurim has been the prerequisite for the hefsek tahara. A woman cannot begin to even to start the process of becoming tahara until the 4 days or 5 days, which was every day, whatever those concerns were, which we spent a lot of time in the last couple of shiurim. And now finally we've passed the point of any concern of political shabuzera. She's already ready to count shivanikiyim, because all women does not require shivanikiyim. She's ready to start the process and start shivanikiyim, but before she begins shivanikiyim, so she has to do what's called the hefsek tahara. So we all know what hefsek tahara is, literally. Before shkia of the day preceding the shivanikiyim, she has to check herself and make sure that there's no bleeding taking place. The question is, where does this din come from? What's the source of this din? What are the parameters of this din? And how does this din play out? This critical part of a chasnida, which really transforms her from the point of being the Cheskes Tamei into the process of counting. So where does this come from? What is it all about? So we take a look on page 31 of the Rambam Kamos. So it begins with Hefsek Tahara, right back in the middle, CD number 20. So Maram Mokum number 1, it says Hefsek Tahara, page 31. So it's a Mishnah Maseches Nida. So the Mishnah Maseches Nida, Daf Samechetzim and Aleph tells us, Nida Shebaka Atzma Yom Shvi. Now, before we try to plug it into what we know as Nida, we have to keep on putting ourselves back into Chazal's mind, into the pre-Rabbi Zera days, into the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when there were really two different statuses of Nida. There was Nida, there was Zava. There's Manazet, they become fused into one. But in the olden days, you had Nida and you had Zava. And a Nida doesn't require Shiva Nikiyam. What a Nida requires is Shivas Yom Tiyab Nida. So she starts to bleed on a Sunday. So Sunday, Manazet, 7 days pass, and the Torah says Shivas Yom Tiyab Nida, and then after which you can go to the mikvah. So Mishnah says that not so simple that she goes to the mikvah, not so fast that she goes to the mikvah. So Mishnah says, Nida Shabbat Katsu Yom Shvi Shacharis. So she's checking herself in the seventh day in the morning. Why is she checking herself? Well, she's a Nida. Nida doesn't require bedikos. The answer is, of course, Nida doesn't require bedikos in terms of Shiva Nikiyam, but she still has to know the blood stopped. It means she has a chazopah that she's been bleeding. She's been bleeding day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. How in the world could she go to the mikvah with her husband? Maybe she's vital, maybe she's still bleeding. So the Mishnah is assuming it's such a double pasha that you have to first prove that the blood stopped. So did she prove it or not? So the Mishnah continues. So Nida Shabbat Gaspi Yom Shvi Shacharis Umatzatora. So she checked herself on the seventh day. It's not the seventh day of Shivna Kiyam. You're not running Kiyam. She checked herself on the seventh day of Mikosa, and lo and behold, she found that she was Tahora. Ben Ashmashas Lohi Frisha. But later in the afternoon, here Ben Ashmashas doesn't literally mean Ben Ashmashas. It's late in the afternoon, Lohi Frisha. She didn't recheck herself later in the afternoon. Impression being that she should have done that. The Mishnah is telling you she did kind of what she was supposed to do, but didn't quite finish the job. So she didn't do Hafrasha Ben Ashmashas. So she wasn't Mafrish Betara. It's interesting that in the days of Chazal, the phrase was not called the Hefsek Tahara, it was called the Hafrasha Betara, Hefresh Betara. I do not know, I don't document it, at what time that switch happened. Sometimes in the last 2,000 years, Hafrash Matar became a Hefsek Tahara. It's the same exact thing, just somehow terminology changed. So the Mishnah says that this woman checked herself in the morning and everything was fine. And then she forgot to check herself in the afternoon. And then a couple of days later, she finds that she is in fact Tamei. All of a sudden, 3-4 days later, she realizes, oh my goodness, I'm bleeding. So the question is, what was her status in the interim? Do we assume that she was bleeding all along, or do we say no? That she stopped bleeding, now she started over. Who cares? Why? Because if we're concerned that she was bleeding in the interim, then she may have become a Zava Gedola. Because if she had a chazaka that she was bleeding, we assume that she was bleeding to prove that she stopped bleeding. So that could mean that maybe she was bleeding the 8 and the 9 and the 10, which is potential chance to make a Zava Gedola. So the Mishnah wants to know, what's her status? Can we assume that on the one hand she did a Hefsek Tahara in the morning, on the other hand she didn't do one in the afternoon? So can we say that we have a chazaka that she stopped bleeding? So the Mishnah says, "Arei bechaskes tahora." So the Mishnah says, "Yeah." The Mishnah says that she does have a chazaka of being tahora. That once she did a hefsek tahara in the morning, so that's proven to us that she stopped bleeding, and she stopped bleeding until proven otherwise. Then the Mishnah contrasts that. The Mishnah says, "Bot ge'atzma biyom shvi shacharis." What if she checked herself in the morning of the seventh day, umatzat tumeya, and she found that she is not yet tahora, so she still found blood and bedikah cloth in the morning, and she never bothered doing a later bedikah, never checked herself in the afternoon. And now, at a later point, she finds that she's in fact Torah. 3-4 days later, she finds she's Torah. And guess what? The Mishnah says, the Cheskes Tameya. She has to assume that she's been bleeding until this point. Because the Chazoka Meikara, the previous, we always follow status quo. Those have been called Hoker, she should know that by now. We've been told about Chazoka Meikara for the last 3 weeks. So the halach is you follow Chazoka Meikara. So the Chazoka was that she's Tameya. She has never proved to the contrary. So basically, if you look at this Mishnah sounds like it's totally irrelevant for us. We're just talking about details of Tuba, Tara, Maislach. We're talking about Nid, this time we're talking about Zov of Bisman. The Mishnah is totally irrelevant. I mean, it's a nice, always a nice thing to learn, but the Mishnah doesn't seem to have any impact on us, the Maisa. The Mishnah is talking about intricacies of Luchas Tuba, Tara, but depending on if you did it Hepsik Tara, you did do Hepsik Tara, what's the status vis-a-vis later days? However, there's a fundamental principle that clearly, almost screaming out at us from this Mishnah. What's screaming out from this Mishnah is that once a woman gets a period, once she starts to bleed, she is becheskas tameya until proven otherwise. That's the root of this whole Mishnah, that a woman is becheskas tameya until proven otherwise. And how do you prove otherwise? What is the halachic mechanism to in a sense, remove, to revoke the becheskas tameya? To check and putting in a bedikah cloth and inserting and check and make sure that that's clean. So basically, the principle that's emanating from this Mishnah in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara is the following: that holds bound that a woman was declared to be Tameya, she remains a Roa until proven otherwise. The only ability to prove otherwise is to have Sintah. Why is that so important for us? All the Rishonim quote this Mishnah and say it's critical for us. Why? Because even though the Mishnah happens not even to be talking about a Zav, the Mishnah is talking about a Nida. But if you think about it, a woman who's a Zav, either Bizman HaMikdash, a real Zav, or Bizman HaZeh, all women are Chashashas, the Sfeikas of Zavos. The whole goal of getting out, the whole method, the whole mechanism of getting out of the state of being a Zav, is a Pasuk Chumash, V'Safra Lo Shivas Yom Yachatitar. She has to count. We just read that Pasuk 2 weeks ago. V'Safra Lo Shivas Yom. She has to count 7 days. Those 7 days, they have to be tahor, they have to be clear of dam. How in the world do you know that those 7 days are clear of dam? Here you have a woman who started bleeding on Sunday, and she's bleeding on Monday, and she's bleeding on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and now all of a sudden she's going to say, you know what, this is great, now tomorrow's going to be my first clean day. How do you know tomorrow's a clean day? Maybe you're still bleeding. You don't even know about it. You don't even notice that you're still bleeding. So how do you know? So all the Rishonim quote this Mishnah say, well, you see from this Mishnah that there's only one method that can break that chazocha, and that is through a isha shabbat ka'atma. It has to be, you have to have a bedika. So a bedika must be done to overturn a cheskes roa, which is an absolute prerequisite for the kafir of shivin akiyim. So if you put all those pieces of the puzzle together, you come to the realization that before a woman can begin to count Shiv Nikiyim, she has to have a Hefsek Tara. So it's interesting, there's no Gemara black and white that says that statement. But all the Rishonim quote it, and all the Rishonim say, it's move on Me'elov. If you really understand the Sechas Nida properly, if you just connect the dots between the Pasuk Chumash and the Mishnah Nida, and you put everything together, so of course that's the conclusion. You have to have Hefsek Tara before you can count Shiv Nikiyim. Then the Rishonim go one step further and say, well, when must this Hefsek Tara take place? The answer is obvious. Also, it must take place before, and emphasize the other word, before the count of Shiv Nikiyim begins. When does the count of Shiv Nikiyim begin? So a day begins at the halachic beginning of a day. And when is the halachic beginning of a day? So the absolute definitive answer to that question is we don't know, because the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that there's a time on any given day on the clock that we're not quite sure. Is it part of the previous day? Is it already the beginning of the next day? And that's what we call now the Benesh Mashos. When does that time take place? Well, that's a big machlokes in the poskim. But our custom is we follow what's called the Shittas HaGaonim, the Shittas HaRambam, but ultimately came the Shittas HaGra. That once the sun sets, we call astronomical sunset. Once that sun goes down, so that we are already not sure whether it's the new day or not. Let's say for Shabbos, nobody would ever dream. Hopefully, nobody would ever dream of doing melacha after the sunset, after Shkia. Because we don't know, because maybe it's Shabbos already. It doesn't mean we're certain that it's Shabbos. Proof positive is that what's on Shabbos, we wouldn't do the Lacha just because the sun went down. We'd wait until the stars come out. Because the Gemara says that interim, that period between Shia and Seis, is a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. Matinah, it's all the Chumash Shneim, you have to be Machman, all ends of the equation. That's why for Shabbos, for sure, you can't do the Lacha after Shkia. That's why for other areas of halacha, like davening mincha, the inshal shudas, all those things, probably what also shouldn't be doing, unless one has different calculations, different understandings of zman hayom. But But in terms of Shabbos, no question about it, one would not be doing melacha at that point of the beginning of Ben Hashemashas. So too, the Rishonim point out that if a woman wants to count the first day of Shiva Nikiyim, so since the Mishnah basically, we infer from the Mishnah, you can't count Shiva Nikiyim until you change your status. The only way to change your status from a Cheskes Roa to a not a Cheskes Roa is to a Bedika. That Bedika that we call, what the Chazal called the Afrashim Tara, we call the Hefsek Tara, must precede the beginning of the day. So since the beginning of the day already Misafek begins at Shkia, which is connecting the dots. So then, obviously, this Hefsek Tara must precede Shkia, which is in fact what it says in Shulchan Aruch, is exactly what we paskin. So this is the din, Arayim Azeh, that before a woman can begin to count Shiva Nikiyim, she has to do a Hefsek Tara. Now, we've already learned two different prerequisites to Shiva Nikiyim. Our goal is Besof L'Shiva Ziyam. We have to get to Besof L'Shiva Ziyam before V'yachatit, before you can get anywhere near the mikvah. So the ultimate goal is to get the woman to the mikvah. Before that, she has to have Shiva Nikiyim. But before she could start Shiva Nikiyim, two things have to happen. She has to be clean of all Poletish and Bazaar. That was the last couple of weeks of Shia. So that's the 4 or 5 days. And then she must change her status from a Cheskes Roa to an Ein Cheskes Roa. And that's done only through the vehicle of Hefsek Tara, which must take place before the beginning of the day, which means Shkia. So we just connected all the dots of the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and the Psukim and everything, and just outline what this needle looks like, this man is it. But everything is hinging upon this Mishnah. It's all, everything I just said is only as true as this Mishnah is. The Mishnah is true, but we have to understand what exactly the Mishnah meant. So there is a fundamental question as to this principle of the Mishnah, that a woman has a cheskes roa until proven otherwise, and she requires a hefsek tahara. Is this a real din d'araisa, or is this only a chumra, only a din mid'rabbanan? Why would it be a real din d'araisa? So it would probably be a corollary of the principle of chazoch mekara, the same way that we spoke about in the Kovoka for a few weeks, about just how much chazoch mekara plays a role in halacha. So we spoke about it in terms of din mamonos. Now we're back to Issa v'Hetter. Maybe the chazoch mekara plays a significant role in Issa v'Hetter as well, and therefore holds mad that the woman is a cheskas roa. She's been seen for the last 5 days. We say she is seen until proven otherwise. And until she can prove otherwise, and the only way to prove otherwise is through a hefsek tahara, through a clean bedika, until that happens, she has a cheskes roa, and even on the level of the araisa, we would have a problem. What that would mean is that if a hefsek tahara for some reason wasn't done properly, so then she, her whole shiva nikiyim would be batla mavuto, her ability to go to the mikvah would be batla mavuto, it is shavu nisakaris. If Kol's mind that we paskin that Shiva Nikiyim are not valid, if she's really a Zovah deraisa, we're in big problems. So according to one possible tzad, that the requirement of a Hefsek Tahara may very well be a din deraisa. One could perhaps argue, maybe not, maybe one could argue, that yes, it's true, you require Hefsek Tahara, and that's what the Mishnah says, but maybe the institution of Hefsek Tahara is only a chumah mid derabbanan. Why wouldn't it be required in a Torah? So one could question the validity of this chazaka. One could question just how powerful is this chazaka that the woman was seeing, and she's seeing until proven otherwise. So there's a Tosfos in the very beginning of Maseches Gittin, where Tosfos talks about just how powerful, just how much koach in halacha does a cheskes roa have. The fact that a woman has been seeing, and therefore we assume she's going to continue to see. What's the problem with that chazaka? Why is there something wrong with that chazaka? So Tosfos throws out a phrase, v'chitira li'olam. Is a woman going to see forever? It's what we call in halacha, according to some achronim, chazok asui l'shtanos. There are different kinds of chazokas. There are some chazokas that the status quo, it was this way, and we have no reason to believe that anything changed. V'derech atem, v'derech olam, maybe it changed, maybe it didn't change. We have no compelling evidence to believe that it changed. Therefore, the Torah says, v'shtal chazok, you follow whatever the chazok was. But you have other kinds of chazokas where we know it's going to change. If you derech olam, things are going to change. The Moshel, the Tosfos can talk about a person as a katan. So we're not sure, is he reached by mitzvah, is he not reached by mitzvah. So he has a cheskes that he was a katan. He used to be a katan. Last year he was a katan. 6 months ago he was a katan. 3 weeks ago he was a katan. And now we're not sure about his birth. We're not sure, did he change being a katan, not being a katan. So some achronim are very weary to apply the principle, is that a real chazoka? It's chazoka sur l'shtanos. We know he's going to eventually, everyone's going to not everyone grows up in all senses, but in Peter Pan sense, not everyone grows up, but physically everybody grows up eventually, so everyone becomes a gadol. So maybe that's not really a chazaka, that's a much weaker kind of a chazaka. So the chazaka that, well, this woman, she's been bleeding since Sunday, so she's probably still bleeding. Until when? For the next 100 years, she's going to bleed. Eventually, she's going to stop bleeding. So v'chitira li'olam. So that's not clear exactly just how much koach this chazaka of Cheskes Nida really has for us. So this opens up a very real...
I don't know, please, with someone comes to me, Mishtate from Korban Pesach, you don't ask for proof that he's an oro, not an oro, and he comes to Mishtate. If he was an oro, he's also the echiva, and then he makar for the whole Korban Pesach for the group.
Well, the first half of what you said is true, that he can't eat the Korban Pesach, but he ruins the whole group is not necessarily true, and that's the detail of his Korban Pesach, but that's a different question. Let's say, I'll push the question back a step. A person comes and says, but they're Jewish. So you give them Korban Pesach. The Gemara says at the beginning, in Maseches Pesach, the Gemara tells a wild story about there was a fellow who was not Jewish, and he wanted to trick the people in Yerushalayim, he wanted to eat from the Korban Pesach, so he came and presented himself as a Jew. So the Gemara says they fed him Korban Pesach, and then all of a sudden, after they realized something was fishy going on, and then eventually they caught him. A little complicated story, what happened in the end, what the story was. There's a Mark Tzchai, if I'm not mistaken, in the Gemara that says that he thinks that story happened after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So spring Korban Pesach. So he shows you, he brings you a couple of rayas, that even though the Beis Hamikdash was ready to destroy, the din is you don't need a Beis Hamikdash to be in Korban Pesach, you need a Mizbech. So he claimed, he shows you from a few different Gemaras, that even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Jews would, some people would try to sneak up to the Harabayas on Erev Pesach, and they would make chick-chack the Mizbech, and they would try to be in Korban Pesach. So when this guy, they thought he was a Roman informer, that he was going to go tell the Roman government that they were, obviously it was against the law for them to be doing that. So they got very, very nervous. That was the historical background of the story. It's Mark Tzchai's suggestion, but it doesn't really matter for our purposes. So Tois is on the spot. Tois is the cash. Tois is, how did they believe in the first place? They know who the guy was. The guy walks in here, Yom Baruch Abu, I want you to come and Pesach. How did they know he was Jewish? So Tois says, how did they know he was Jewish? Because the rov is, a guy comes and says that he's Jewish, but somebody's Jewish. So Tosa says, we do this all the time. A guy walks in the shul for a little, we ask, everybody walks in and, are you Jewish? We assume that a person comes and says, unless we have some reyesa, unless we have something that's very fishy. We meet a new guy, so the first question we only ask is whether he's Jewish, but if we start to hear funny things, he's telling a story that his family was this, and so was that, his grandmother converted, and he's not really from, and he's not the Rokhan of Ochagadja. You have to stop these questions.
So the Reyes,
the robe is that people are Jewish.
Once there's a Reyes, does that change the status that you can't enter into a new Chazaka, that something's going to be Mishtana? In other words, we know something. We know a person's going to change. But once there's a reyasa, a katan, there's no reyasa to the katan. We know it's going to be mishtan.
That's not going to change, right? So Anita also, we know that she's going to stop. Every woman eventually stops bleeding.
But we don't know if a status change. Meaning she can stop. 2 days later, she can do it again.
In other words,
she's...
You mean it's not a color. The cup is going to become a color. It's going to remain a girl forever. A woman's going to stop bleeding, and she's eventually going
to
burn again.
Go back to the cup. So right. Tuesday night yet. Something that's constantly...
Okay, right. They double have clothes. Right. So we're not learning the whole thing of chazokas and needs right now. I'm just trying to throw out the two possibilities that it's not clear that the requirement of Ethic Dara conceptually should be a din deraisa. Even though she has a cheskes role, maybe this cheskes is not as powerful as we thought it was. So what is the din, Lisa? I mean, at the end of the day, everybody agrees the woman must do Hefsek Tahara, but we have a real question. Is that a deraisa? Is that a derabbanan? That's going to impact halacha lemaisa, because we all know when we're dealing with dinim deraisa, we get very, 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 very nervous. We're dealing with dinim derabbanan, we get a little nervous. We get a little, you know, the different degrees of, I don't mean nervous in a negative sense. I mean, I get nervous in a positive sense. There's a humorous story about in the Valojin. So if any of the Bochum would stay for Yom Tov, and would have a place to go back, and a lot of traveling, so some of the Bochum would stay for Yom Tov. So the Beis Halev and the Netziv, at one period in history, they were both Korosh Yeshivas in the Lodge. The Beis Halev was Reb Chaim's father. That's what the Rav's name did, the Rosh Beis Halev Beijing. So one of the Bochum, a famous story, he was recounting about the storm by the Rosh Yeshivas. On the first night, this Bochum went to the Beis Halev, and the second night, he went to the Netziv. So he said that for the Beis Halev, so he said there was, you know, there was... He says, he described the matzahs were very, very, brisket matzahs, they were very, very burnt matzahs, and everyone was looking at the watch to make sure it was mamash chatzais, and it was, the Russian, they were eating these tremendous kazaisim, and he said, there was almost like tension in the air. And he said, he came, the second night he went to Nitziv, everything was very relaxed, everyone was singing, normal size kazaisim, and no one was in a rush, and everything there. So he was trying to understand the difference. The emphasis, there are different personalities, whatever it was. So somebody heard the stories. They said to him, no. He said, the answer is very simple. You went to the Beis HaLevi the first night, it was deraisa. You went to the Tzim the second night, it was deraisa, it was deraisa, it was speed up, relax. That's right, there was just I was always told all the story in Shulza. It's a Kabbalah story. It's a little digression, but it's a good story. I one time I ate by a Shiva somewhere, a Goldlich on Rosh Hashanah, the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and we were sitting here, the meal came to come to an end. And at the time, Chazan Posen, Rafi Posen, one of the famous 50s, just nifted last year, Chutin Rabbi Shechter, he just passed away this past year. So he was a Chazan, he kept me up like 15 years in the other right. So he came over here for the meal to talk to the Rosh Hashiva a little bit. So he didn't look at the Yeshiva, but he had been down the years before. So he used to catch up with the Rosh Hashiva every Yom Narod. We'd come and talk to Shmuz a little bit. So he came the second night Rosh Hashanah to the end of the meal. He was talking to Rosh Hashiva. And then they started to reminisce about old stories. Little bit of Rosh Hashiva. They made a little bit of a joke. They smiled a little bit. And all of a sudden, I never forget, like yesterday, Rosh Hashiva banged on the table and says, he realized that he had made a joke on Rosh Hashanah. He said, he said, I could have only made that joke because it's second night Rosh Hashanah. So the first night I couldn't even made a joke on the first night Rosh Hashanah. There are abundant things in Rosh Hashanah, I can make a joke. Anyway, getting back to the story. So it does make a difference. If it's a din deraisa, it's going to have a whole different package. A din derabanan is a different way of viewing it. So what is it? So there is a Rambam, sort of a complicated Rambam. We'll try to read through the two Rambams together. We finally finish up the whole Rambam, then we'll come to the realization with, at least what the Rambam thinks about this topic. So the Rambam writes, Nida Shabbat Ta'atma, Vesochim Eni Dosa. The Nimsa Shabbat Kadam. If a woman does, in effect, have Sikdar, she checks herself in the middle of the 7 days of Nidus, and she realizes she's not bleeding anymore. Even if it wasn't the seventh day, it was earlier. If you pasuk b'shein la nidasa, I'm leaving out for now why he says shein, not rishon. That's part of the latest sugya. So she realized it too. That three different that lemaisa bleeding is stopped. Okay, it's very nice the bleeding is stopped. It's still shiva's yom tov nidasa. So min haTorah, she still has to finish up the 7 days. Not shiva nikiyah, but she has to finish up the 7 days. V'shavgo izidav lo botka liachar nidasa yomim rabim. And then she really should have checked herself at the end of the 7 days. Just to really, really make sure that everything is over. But she forgot, or she intended whatever it was, she didn't do it. And then, a couple of days later, she checks herself. Shabbat, come on,
Tanea. This is about the 4 or 5 day period.
This is before, this has to do with Shivas Yom Tov Nidasa, Minat Torah, not a Zavah.
When's the second time she's checking?
She already went to the mikvah, she's in the middle of, she's 5 days, 3 days, 4 days at stop. She checks herself for two Vitama purposes. So again, well, let's just make sure we have the chronology properly, because that's going to impact the entire case. So she gets a period on a Sunday. She's good, she's bleeding Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon, she starts to sense the bleeding's dying down. Oh, let me check myself, see what's going on. Lo and behold, nothing anymore. Right? She's not going to the mikvah yet, she has to wait Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. She's waiting to go to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos. And then a couple of days later, she checks herself again. Oh my goodness, the Shabbat Kematzah Taneya. So what's the question? The question is, what happened in the interim? From the time that she checked herself and found Tahora, until now she finds Tameya, do we have to be concerned that she was still bleeding? So says Rambam, Ein Omrim Shema Kol Osan Hayom Haishet Tameya. Don't say that, oh, well, now that it turns out that she's bleeding now, it must be a proof that she's been bleeding for the last couple of days. And what would that mean? Viti Azava, and that would mean she's Azava. Because Azava is a woman who bleeds 3 days in a row after the Shiva's Yom are over. Again, this is all on love of Deraisa. So Rambam says, you don't say that, why? All those days that she didn't check in between, she had a cheskes tahara because she did a hafsik tahara. So once she does hafsik tahara, once she's proven through the vehicle of a bedika that she's not bleeding anymore, she's created a chazaka. Once she's created a chazaka, so she has a chazaka to prove it otherwise. So she's from here on in, she's Asura. But the interim period, she's not a Zav, she's not a Zav Gadol. So that's the first case. That's the simple case.
That's not a Pella. Because the Shiva Yamin Daraisa puts her into status of...
of being Asura. To me, it doesn't mean she has a Cheskes Roa for the whole 7 days. We're not saying she's going to bleed for 7 days. Most women don't bleed for full 7 days. The Torah says, once she starts to bleed, she was Yom Tiyah B'nei Dasa. But she, as long as she broke up that status of being a Roa, that's all that's necessary. That's the first
thing. So according to Ram, there's no connection between a Roa and Tameya.
Right. She's Tameya because the Torah says she was Yom Tiyah B'nei Dasa, but she's not a Roa anymore. Second half of the Ram. Vodka Atzma, the end of the second line. Vodka Atzma Mata Tameya. What if she checked herself and found that she was Tameya? Afilu Vodka B'shvil B'nei Dasa. Even if she checked late in the year, it doesn't matter when she did this bedigas. Uben Hashmashas lo bodka atzma lefush b'tumas nida. She never ever disproved her status. She never revoked the status of roa. Elohim tina yomim v'yacharkach bodka matzas Torah. 3, 4, 5 days later, she comes to the realization. Oh my goodness, gee, let me check myself again, and she finds that she's tahora. You know what the Rambam says? Harezo sofik zava. She's a Sofek Zava Gedola. You know why? Because we have absolutely no way of knowing, did she bleed after the Shivas Yom are over? If she bled after the Shivas Yom are over, so then she's Mamshah Zava Gedola. So if we had Ruch HaKodesh, we know that she was actually bleeding those 3 days after the Shivas Yomim, then she's a Zava Gedola, B'Vaday. But we don't know that. We're concerned that maybe, and therefore she has the status of a Sofek Zava. What do you do when you're a Zofik? What's the status of a Zofik Zava? So now we're going to go down to another Rambam. The Rambam in the second half, it's the Rambam of the Surah Bia, Perikvavlach of Gimel. But the Rambam says, what do you do? Kol Isha, she's Zofik, need a Zofik Zava. Tzvicha Leishav Shiv Nikiyim, ni Zofik. Anytime you have a Zofik, you have to count Shiv Nikiyim. V'tovelos Belel Shemini, v'yachagach Timo Teres Nabayla. So it's a Zofik Deraisa. If she knows she didn't need her, just she was young. If she knows she's a Dava, then Shiva Nikiyim. She doesn't know, the Chumra is she needs Shiva Nikiyim. But now listen to the end of the Ramah. Umavia Karban Zava. Any woman who's a Suffolk, whether she's a Zava, brings a Karban Zava. But it's a Karban Chatas, and the Karban Chatas cannot be in. Why can't it be in? For the following reason. There's a special halacha, Gemara derives a whole special halacha, that normally when you have a Suffolk, whether you have to bring a Karban Chatas or not, the starting point is you don't bring it. It's a Safi Chulun Azara. Unless you know for a fact that you have to bring a certain chathas, you can't bring it. A Korban Ola, Korban Shlom, and Korban Toda, you can volunteer those Korbanos, do whatever you want. But a Korban chathas can only be brought if you're obligated. If you don't know whether you're obligated, the Safi Sheva Tasi, you're not allowed to bring the Korban. There's a special Alacha Mashem, seeing that Korban chathas is different. Korban chathas is Bala Safi. You're allowed to bring it even Ala Safi. You're Bechuv to bring it Ala Safi, but you're not allowed to eat it. Now, normally the Kohanim eat the Korban Chatas. Why are you not allowed to eat it? Because the Korban Chatas is not shechted. The Korban Chatas has malika done to it. Its neck is cut from the back rather than shechted from the front. A Korban Chatas may sound strange when I say is an avela. I mean, in theory, it's an avela. It's not straight. It's also to eat. There's a Chiddush HaTorah that the Kohanim were allowed to eat it, even though it wasn't shechted. It's a special Chiddush HaTorah that it was not. If you would do this to a regular chicken, we would say, yeah, your whole kitchen is strafe, your whole butcher store is strafe. You do malik, it's not shechit, it's a simanim in the front, it's breaking the neck from the back. Kach nemra loch, that's the part of Malachas Reisho, the Torah says, chol chatosam, that the Kohanim allowed to eat it. So that heter, to eat a korban chatas, ha'of, was only given if you know that it's a korban chatas of. If you're not even sure that it's a korban chatas of, so it's a suffix nevela. It's a suffix that you're entitled to the heter of eating it, suffix na, you have to be the rice, you can't eat it. So it's a strange din, it's a whole sugya that was krisos, but that's the din. Anytime you have a suffix chatas of, it's balas chatas of, balas suffix, but ino necha ala suffix. So the Rambam writes, any case of this suffix zava brings a carbon chatas of. So if the Rambam says that any woman who's a suffix zava brings a chatas of, then the Rambam is referring to what he wrote 3 halachas earlier also. The case of the woman who did a bedika on sometime during Shiva Nikiyam, and it turned out to be Tameh, and then a couple of days later, she does another bedikah, and it's Tahar, and the Rambam called her those two bad words. What's your Safek Zava? By calling her a Safek Zava in Halacha Chaf, the Rambam just told her, you have to bring a Korban Chatas Of. It's not going to be Nechal or Safek, but you have to bring it. So the Rambam is telling this Safek Zava to bring a Korban. Now, how did the Rambam know that she's a Safek Zava? What made us believe she's a Safek Zava? Because she never did a Hefsek Tahara. So the Achronim are dying from this Rambam tucked away in Hukhas Karbonis, in Hukhas Safek Tahara. You see that the lack of Hefsek Tahara impacts on Dinim Deraisa. If the whole din of Hefsek Tahara was only a Chumim in the Rabbanon, we would never ever bring a Karbon because of that. You're not allowed to bring a Karbon. To bring a Karbon that you're not chayav to bring the Deraisa, it's Chumim Bazar, so this is Deraisa. You have to have a matter to bring a korban chatas. So the only matter to bring a korban chatas is that the Torah says to bring it. So from the fact that the Rambam is advocating you to bring this korban, he's insisting that you bring this korban because it's a chsafek zava, what the Rambam in effect in between the lines is telling us is that hefsek tahara is a requirement. Midaraisa, I mean, it's not just a chumah dira, it's a chashash drabban, the chumah made up one day that let's be concerned maybe she's a zava. No, the Torah is concerned maybe she's a zava because she has a chazafa, but she's a roa. And that chazaka is a very, very powerful chazaka that affects the dinim on the level of deraisa. So believe it or not, it's these two Rambams that the Chari were dying from. You see from here, the Ramshit is that Hefsek Tahara is required with deraisa. And when I get a little cut, you have to increase the suffix, chadas oif, to appreciate Uchaz Nidav as man hazeh. So if you take a look at the third of the Marmikomas, I don't know whether anyone's going to actually be able to see the third Marmikomas, myself included, but the Tzayis HaRash, Imasech is Nidav. We got to take off all the reading glasses and then hope for the best on this one. So the Tzadik HaRash writes that it's the fourth line, fifth line from the top, the end of the line. Alma, below Ifrisha, Eini Chol Lispar, that which a woman who didn't do a Hefsek Tahara cannot begin to count Shemini Kiyum. Chumra bi Almahi, Umidirabanan. That it's only a chumra midrabanan. That the whole thing is not required in the Torah. Then you skip down a couple more lines. The very end of the line. V'afilu b'yafsacha min haTorah. And maybe I'm wrong. Says Tzadik HaRash. Tzadik HaRash is not sure. He starts off by saying Hefsek Tahara is only midrabanan. Then he turns around and he says maybe not midrabanan. Maybe it's not midrabanan. Maybe an effective Rambam is right. So the Achronim present this child that we raise as a chakira is the requirement of Hefsek Tahara, the Raisa of the Rabbanan. It's machloekes the Rambam and the Tzadik HaRash. The Rambam is clear from the whole razzle dazzle shtickle Torah that it's a din de Raisa, and the Tzadik HaRash seems to say it's the Rabbanan. He throws in maybe a monkey wrench, maybe he's not sure, but the Pashto Dvarim is that he's almost convinced that the requirement of Hefsek Tahara is only the Rabbanan. So my left group, who cares? Raisa of Rabbanan, we're all Torah observant Jews, we're going to keep what it says in Shulchan Aruch. What's the difference between the Raisa of the Rabbanan? So it could make a difference in the following. What if a woman didn't do a Hefsek? She forgot. She didn't know the din, never heard of it. And she went ahead and she counted Shemini Kiyum and she went to the mikvah. And now she wants to know, the Achar Ma'aseh, she wants to know, what was the degree of Issa that we just did? Just how bad was what we did? Was that a real concern to Issa? Did we violate Chazida to Issa? Or did we violate Chazida with the Rabbanan? So you may be wondering, okay. And that's the most exciting nachmina. What the avala chazidu the rice avala chazidu chazidu the drabon. So Moshe Feinstein quoted this discussion with the Rambam. So there's a rush following shaila. Moshe has a few places the same shaila. It wasn't really a shaila maisa because there's no real maisa in it. But Moshe was asked about the situation if a person knows that the ploni is a bendit. They know the parents didn't observe taras and mishpacha. So does that have any impact whatsoever in the realm of shiduchim? So, before we even discuss the shayla, so Ramashi writes, Apidin has no impact whatsoever. There's Apidin, there's no status, even if the child's mamash and benid, that doesn't make a difference. There's no mamzeris, there's no nothing. Zero. However, Toskim do discuss this notion of that some sapagam, it's not the nicest thing, it's not a good thing. So maybe it would be some kind of an issue that a person should take with. So Ramashi has a famous tshuva, which repeats in several places, but he writes that one can assume that even though a certain couple didn't necessarily observe Taras Mishpacha, one can assume that the child is not a Benida. Why can you assume that the child is not a Benida? So Rabbi Shah writes, because the woman probably went to the mikvah. Probably, she's telling you she doesn't go to the mikvah. She probably went swimming, she probably was in the ocean, right before she conceived, she probably went to the pool, maybe to Mimra Torah. She probably really observed the chazim without even knowing it, said Ramosha. And if you can assume that the child is not a bendita. So then Ramosha went and said, what even kind of joke is that? She didn't do a sitara. So Ramosha said, sitara's only do a bonnet anyway, I ain't there's a rush, so it doesn't really impact on her. So again, we're not passing shadows because of Hava. We're not saying, oh, be mazal on Hefsek Tahara because it's only the Rabbanan. But after the facts are over, we're saying, well, the absence of Hefsek Tahara is Nishka Ferlach. So hopefully next time we'll continue with this nekuda of Ramosha. I want to talk a little bit more about this tshuva. It's an important tshuva on a couple of different fronts. But again, lemaisa doesn't make a difference. Those are bendy. That part, the halacha doesn't make a difference. But it is important just to call into the sugya as to just how seriously we take this. Okay. Next, I'm going to be away out of town next Shabbos. I won't be back Sunday morning. So next week there won't be a shiur. Hopefully we'll follow.
You're going to be away during the week.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally like a minute. No, I'm going.